The hour that we live in is an hour where good is called evil and evil is called good. I have to cultivate in my heart the value system he has. I refuse to call evil good just so that I sound, you know, contemporary, just so that I sound like I'm in touch with culture. I don't want to be in touch with culture in the sense that it influences me. I literally just want the culture of heaven. Well, hello once again. Welcome back to this quest for wisdom. We're all in this one together. And we're doing chapter 17 today. And I think I'm just going to take two, maybe three verses out of this chapter again. One is a little bit different, a little bizarre. So give me a little bit of grace on this one. But chapter 17 happens to have a lot to say about conversation again, about speech. And so I'm going to let you just pretty much read that one on your own. But I want to get down here to verse 7 that we'll start this with. We'll do 7 and 8, but we'll do them separate. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. That just fascinates me. Excellent speech. In an earlier chapter, we talked about how the righteous studies to prepare his lips to speak what is right with accuracy, and I'm going to use the term excellence. It's just smart that we give ourselves to excellent speech. And excellent speech means there are certain things I won't talk about. I'll leave a room. I've been in many conversations where people just start talking about this or about that, and it's just not something I want to engage in. I don't want to engage my heart in. I don't want to engage my conversation in, so I'll walk out of a room. Guard your heart so that you protect the privilege of excellent speech coming out of your mouth. Verse 8 is the one that's a little bit bizarre, so let me read it to you. It says, a present, a gift, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. A present, a gift. Let's say that a very, very wealthy person gave you, oh goodness, let's go big, a $10 million diamond. And he said, you have to carry this with you for 30 days. You can't wear it. You can't show it to anybody. But you have it in your pocket. You've got this awareness that everywhere I go, I've got this incredibly valuable gift with me. And what does it do? It changes your awareness of who you are and what your assignment is. It's suddenly there's this significance added to your life. And it says this person who becomes aware of the gift that they carry becomes prosperous in everything they do. Why? I think it's because it changes our sense of importance. It changes our sense of purpose. It changes our awareness of what God has actually given us to do when we realize we carry something that is so invaluable. And we have something far more invaluable than that, and that's the message of the gospel. We carry a gift. Now, reading commentaries on this, they will often say a present is a bribe. And so it's a bribe gives somebody confidence in an evil situation. Maybe that's right. But then maybe it's being aware of the priceless gift that you carry actually gives you a confidence because you were sent by someone greater than you to represent him into a given situation. And it means you're going to prosper in anything and everything you do. So just consider that. Become aware of the treasure that you carry. It's the message of the gospel, and it's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life that increases our confidence in challenging situations. All right, let's move on. Verse 15 is one that I wanted to look at today as well. It says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are alike, are an abomination to the Lord. He who justifies the wicked and who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. The hour that we live in is an hour where good is called evil and evil is called good. I've never seen anything that closely resembles this hour that we live in. The righteous are called corrupt in every disgusting thing you can think of. And the wicked are exalted in culture. And this is just a warning. It doesn't mean I need to hate people. It doesn't mean that people become my enemy. But it does mean I have to cultivate in my heart the value system he has. I need to be able to recognize, all right, calling that good is wrong. I will not do that. I will not do that to gain favor at work. I will not do that to gain favor with my neighbors. I refuse to call evil good just so that I sound, you know, contemporary, just so that I sound like I'm in touch with culture. I don't want to be in touch with culture in the sense that it influences me. I literally just want the culture of heaven. And that's where you call good, good, and you call evil, evil. It is what it is. And no compromise is ever needed in your life or mine to lower the standards of what is real, what is right, what is true. And then I want to go down here. We'll end with one more verse. See how we're doing for time? Yep, one more verse. And this is in verse 22. And this is something that in recent weeks I've brought up to you before, and I'm going to do it again because we need to get it down. It's in the book of Proverbs over and over and over again because he wants to make sure we learn it. All right, here it is, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine. A broken spirit dries up the bones. Let's take the negative first. A broken spirit, that inner world that becomes so traumatized through crisis, difficulty, that doesn't, here's the deal. All of us face loss. All of us face disappointment. All of us face that stuff. So there's no options there. We all face it. Mourning is going to take me either to the comforter. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So it either takes me to the comforter or it takes me to unbelief. And if I allow the brokenness of life to take me into a place of resistance, then that's me right there. The broken spirit dries up the bones. It actually affects my health, my mental health, my emotional health, and eventually the body begins to break down and illustrate what's going on. I remember years ago praying for this gal that had Crohn's disease. And I just asked her randomly, I said, are you hard on yourself? Because Crohn's is where the body's basically attacking itself. Are you harsh on yourself? She said, oh yeah, I'm a college student and I'm very critical, self-critical about grades and all that stuff. And I said, well, how about we repent for that? And she had this thing for like 7 years. I led her in a prayer of repentance, and within moments she was completely healed of something that afflicted her for years. Why? Because our body sometimes is shouting to us what's going on in our internal world. So here it is, a merry heart, that's a choice. A merry heart does good like medicine. Maybe we should have at all of our pharmacies one counter that just is the merry heart counter. We'll make sure that we go and receive good news and good reports and replenish our souls so that we come into a place of great strength and great personal health. I pray that for you. I pray that you and I together can illustrate divine health really as an invitation to the world to come to know this Jesus who is absolutely a perfect Father. All right, bless you. Thanks for joining. I bless you.